It was a good weekend. We just, I think most of us had just a simple time, you know, of just being together with family, and it wasn't anything extravagant. Of course, I don't know if we've done anything extravagant for some time. We're just kind of, we're simple people. We like to keep it simple. And however, I didn't grow up that way. When I grew up, my mom was kind of like, oh, it was always a party. It wasn't just, let's invite so-and-so over. It was like, let's invite the neighborhood over. You know? And I was like, oh, no. Yeah. That's her heart, though. She just had a big heart and loved people. And that's a good thing, right? Nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. I was the quiet one of the bunch. So you know we were pretty noisy, right? Yeah. I actually was. I was a shy one. But what God does is he's empowered a shy person and made him a spokesman for him, you know, so that in my weakness, his strength comes through. All right. And my inability is his ability. And so we rely upon the grace of God to do what we're called to do. Each one of us has been given an assignment, right? And we need to partner with Jesus in the time frame he's given us. I mean, I know the hours and the minutes are quickly passing us, right? Time flies when you're having fun. So this year has gone by pretty fast, don't you think? Yeah, we say thank God. And I know some people are thinking, oh, what's going to happen in 2021? And, you know, I say, guys, no matter what happens in 2021, we're not to fear. We're not to be afraid. We're not to worry. Amen. We have God on our side. Hallelujah. We have God before us. Who can be against us? And no matter what happens, amen, we're in good company with the Lord on our side. Amen. God wants us to rejoice, right? Rejoice and be glad in the days and the moments he gives us. Enjoy life. He came that you might have life and life more abundantly. And I'm going to say this again that, you know, we don't want to get caught up in being so afraid of dying that we quit living. We want to live, right? God has called us to life. Hallelujah. Well, we are called to a walk of faith. And I'd like you to pray with me real quick. Father, I thank you that you are here with us. Holy Father, I thank you you've given us your Spirit to teach us. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to reveal to us the things of Jesus. Reveal them to our hearts, Lord. Open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding. Impart truth, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd feed each one of us today. Nourish us with manna from on high. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message today is Unless I Had Believed. Unless I Had Believed. We are in a battle, amen, and the enemy is coming after your faith, your confidence. He wants to sow hopelessness in your life so that you'll give up the battle and quit living. And quit standing for what is right. He wants to try to convince you that he's got it in the bag. That he's got it. And that God's not in charge of this thing. Amen. Now we know that God has given liberty to you and I as human beings. And people are going to abuse their power. It's going to happen. But the good news is that Jesus is going to come. And he's going to bring deliverance. Amen. In the earth. And he's going to deal with all these rogue operators. Amen. That have undermined his authority and abused those who were under them. God's going to deal with the oppressor and God's going to liberate the oppressed. And today in the spirit, you can experience and know the liberation of God. So you don't have to live in oppression. Amen. It doesn't matter what the government does. God wants us to be free in our spirit. And if your heart is free, and if you're in right standing with God, then life, your perspective on life will change also. It's how you see it. It's how you perceive things, how you're looking at it. Oh, we'll get into psychology now. Is the glass half full or half empty? You know what the right answer is, right? Come on, somebody. The cup is overflowing. God wants us to have an overflowing cup, not a half full cup. Amen. And we can delight ourselves in him. We can rejoice. We can be filled with him who is our peace. And it's the only way you're going to have peace in this world is to have peace within. through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the fruit of God that we need. Human goodness, amen, it only goes so far. As long as everything is going my way, I'm having a good day. Human goodness. Well, I like you because you like me. I bless you because you bless me. But in human goodness, it's not that strong, is it? Because as soon as somebody curses you, that human goodness can turn sour real fast. Amen? And that's why we need to rely upon God's goodness, God's provision of grace. By His Spirit, God will enable us to bless those who curse us. He will enable us to pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. So we trust in the grace that God provides freely by His Spirit. Unless I had believed, and I want to use as a text this morning, Psalms 27:13. Now David was a righteous man, and the Lord spoke highly of him. He considered David a man after his own heart. Why? Because David was willing to do all of his good pleasure. David was not a perfect man, but God considered him righteous because he had a heart of faith. He trusted in his God. And it's by faith, amen, it's by grace through faith that we are justified today. God wants us to believe him and not what the media says, not what others say. Some say, but what does God say? That's what matters, right? What is God saying? How many know that in this world, often, the majority of the voices you hear are not saying what God is saying? The crowd, generally speaking, unless it's this crowd, I praise, I hope, is usually not in sync with the Spirit of God. Amen. They're not going where God's going. They want nothing to do with God. But there are those who belong to the Lord. They are a remnant. He's had a seed. He's had a people throughout history that have been faithful to him. And the day will come when God will send the harvesters. The angels will come. Amen. He will bring the harvest home. He'll bring his people with him. And the chaff will be taken away. God's going to separate. He's already beginning to do that. Do you see it? There's a separation taking place. There's a polarity taking place. You're going to have to choose sides here. You can't be a moderate Christian. You got to choose this day who you will serve. According to Hebrews chapter 11, under the Old Testament, people were justified the same way we are today. Did you know that? They weren't justified by observance of the law. Because the law was simply to point out the fact that we are sinful and we could not live up to God's standard of perfection. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ so we'd realize that in ourselves we don't have the qualifications for Him. To be in His presence. We cannot be in His presence except that God would enable us and make us ready to be in His presence. So God gives humanity His righteousness, His garments, amen, so that we can be in His presence. Under the law, they were considered righteous because they believed God. Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him as what? Righteousness. Noah found favor with God. Why? Because it says that Noah walked with God. Walking with someone means that you're in agreement, you're in harmony with somebody. As we walk with God, amen, then we're in harmony with Him, amen, and His favor will rest upon those obedient children. How many know that God is good to all? He's good to those that aren't good. He was good to you before you knew Him, amen, before you received His goodness. When we thought we were good, you know, you can ask a crowd of people, how many here consider yourself to be a good person? And old Adolf Hitler with his mustache back there would go, oh, here am I. Most people in their own estimation of themselves think they're good. Just face it. Why? Because that standard is a standard that we give ourselves. We're justified by ourselves. And often we do that by comparing ourselves to somebody that may not be doing quite as well as we are. Therefore, I'm not as bad as that guy with all the tattoos and the Satan symbols on his body. And God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I go to church, I fast, I pray, I tithe. Are those good things? Yes. Those are good qualities, but they don't make you righteous. Should we go to church? Yes, because the Lord told us to go and gather, right? But what makes me righteous is Christ. He is my righteousness. My faith has got to be in Him. And my confidence has got to be in His faithfulness and not my own ability to be faithful. I've got to get me out of the picture and know that it is God who makes me right, who makes me good, who makes me kind, who makes me loving, who makes me all these good great graces. Amen. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of God, amen, in me and out of me, amen, that makes a difference. So if I'm self-centered, it means that I'm relying upon me to be good enough to merit God's favor. I have to accept the fact that apart from Christ, I'm no good. Oh, I know that's not politically correct because man is intrinsically good, you know. You can look around in the earth today and see how good man is. Moving right along. David had a heart for God, but because David trusted the Lord and had a heart for God, he had many enemies. How many know that if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're not going to be the most popular kid on the block? The world will hate you if you live for God. Why? Because the world is in darkness and they don't comprehend the light. They don't understand. When I was in darkness, I didn't like those creepy people. Amen. Those Jesus people. I didn't realize I was the creepy one. I thought they were the creepy one. What used to be normal to me was what? Now abnormal. And vice versa. What used to be abnormal to me is now normal. I say, yeah, now I get it. You see, I can't get it. You can't get it. We can't understand God unless He reveals Himself to us by His Spirit. So if we're going to do any boasting, we need to boast in the Lord. Amen. We need to give thanks and praise to God for what He has done on our behalf. Because we couldn't save ourselves and we could never be good enough for Him. And so God gives us His righteousness, and His righteousness is Christ. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we talk about the armor of God, what are we talking about? We're talking about putting on the Lord. Amen. He is our righteousness. In Him we are complete. The whole armor, amen, all of it is in Christ. God's not giving us pieces, guys. He's given us His Son. Amen. And if we have the Son, then we have everything that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. It's freely given through Christ. Amen. So we are without excuse before God. Why? Because He's given us the ability to live a life that is honorable, that will please Him. Amen. And that we can make a difference in this world by the grace of God. See, there are many that are trying through human goodness to achieve goodness with God. And good works are good works. There's nothing wrong with good works, but good works don't save you. Amen. But we were saved for good works. And if we are in right standing with God, if we're in harmony with God, then we will walk together with Him and we will bear good fruits. Why? Because He'll work in us both the will and the do of His good pleasure. We'll have a desire to bear fruit. Psalms 27:13, I knew I was going to get to this someday. I would have lost heart. David, being surrounded with so many enemies, so many troubles, said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. What was he going to believe? That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Guys, we need to change our perspective. We need to keep a steady gaze. We need to be optimistic. We need to put faith and confidence in our God's ability to turn any situation around, to make the bitter sweet. God is able, amen, to turn America around. God is able to save this nation. He's more than able. He is not limited. Amen? The problem is sometimes we're limiting Him through our unbelief. Because we're listening to the wrong voices. We're listening to all the noise that's going on in the mainstream media. And the majority of the voices that are speaking right now, that are broadcasting right now, are not in agreement with the heart of God. But God is looking for a few, a remnant, a Joshua or a Caleb that will say, but God said, and this is what we're going to get a hold of, we're not going to throw the towel in on our nation, amen? Because it's our future and our children's future that's at stake here. And we need to stand up for what is right and what is true because that's what God stands up for. And He's looking for someone to stand in the gap and say, Lord, I'll stand up for what is right. I'll stand up for what is true. I'm not going to bow down to the spirit of Antichrist. You and I are the restraining force in the world right now. The Holy Spirit in the church. And the devil doesn't like it. He's trying to silence our voice. He's trying to control speech. Did you know that? He's trying to control everything right now. He's a narcissist. He just loves himself. He's a legend in his own mind. I don't know about you, but I find myself surrounded with negativity and evil reports. But God wants us to lift our eyes above the waves, as the song goes. Amen? And we need to know that God is our helper and that God is able to intervene. And God is looking for you and I to partner with Him, to join together with Him, to be salt and to be light, to be influencers. Amen? We are world changers, guys. The God of heaven dwells within us by His Spirit, and we can affect change in our world, amen, where we live. As we rely upon His ability and get ourselves out of the picture as much as we can. Too many today are putting their trust in man-made institutions. The devil wants to replace faith in God with faith in human government. But God wants us to trust Him. Listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. You see, mankind, apart from his creator, is already under the curse. We were born under a curse because of the fall of Adam and because sin has been transferred down generationally, even to our modern time. Everyone, amen, apart from Christ is still under that curse. Jesus came to deliver us, amen, from the curse of the law and that which was written against us, amen, because we had failed to obey God perfectly and because of our sin, amen, we were disqualified from His presence, and there's no way that in my own goodness I could be good enough to be in His presence. And so God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, amen, and became our substitute, the perfect one, amen, became my substitute. He died for me, amen, and God laid upon Him the iniquity of us all, and only through Jesus, amen, and His blood and His righteousness can we be made right with God the Father, amen, and have an inheritance in heaven someday, but also be made ready, amen, to be a servant of the Lord in this here and now. God's called us to partner with Him and be world influencers, world changers. Good government is any government that is under the authority of God. God's not opposed to government. He's not opposed to human government. As a matter of fact, God establishes it. And good government is any government that is under what? The authority of God. But whenever a man or a woman or a person in a high place of authority in the earth takes themselves out from under God's authority, they are now a rogue operator. Come on, somebody. Our authority is only as legitimate as our submission to God's authority. If we're willing to submit ourselves to God, then we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. You see, people are trying to resist the devil, but they're not submitting to God. That doesn't work. put yourself, place yourself under God's authority. Amen. And you'll have his authority. You'll have his blessing. He commissions us to go, what? In his name, in his stead, to represent him and his interests in the earth. Our Constitution was based upon the Word of God. Therefore, it has the blessing of God upon it. And whenever man attempts to remove God out of the government, guess what results? Chaos. What happened in the very beginning when the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep? There was what? Chaos. Because wherever God is not, is evil, is dark. And remember, before God spoke, amen, the cosmos and the sun and the moon, the lights, amen, in the heavens, the first thing he said is, let there be light. And God's light invaded the darkness. Amen? And so whenever man tries to live independent of his Creator, he lives in darkness. And wherever God is not, is chaotic. When there's chaos in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, it means that there's a lack of God. There's a lack of Him who is peace. And we live in a microwave society, you know, a little dabble do you kind of thing, you know, just a little bit of, I'm good. I'll have the fries today. I don't want a full meal. Just give me that apple pie. We're good. Well, so much you need is liver and onions. No. There's no blessing for you or for me. There's no blessing where God is not. Where God is blessed. Because he's forever blessed. You see that? God wants his people to be full of him. So we're blessed because of him. See, true blessings are not just stuff and things of this world. That new car is nice, but when you're really blessed, you're blessed because you have Christ. You have Christ who is our exceeding great reward. He's our exceeding joy. He's the one that really satisfies the deepest longing of our heart. And if you can't find contentment in God, you're certainly not going to find contentment in anything in this world. And that's why people get covetous. That's why people get greedy and they want more and more and more. Why they're trying to fill up a void in their life that only God can fill. They're trying to satisfy themselves on things that truly don't satisfy. But if you're satisfied in God, then you can be grateful for even little things in life. You can rejoice even in the small things. I find myself sometimes I'm in that line, that drive-through line, and it's gotten longer these days, have you noticed? And if I'm not careful, I'll start aligning myself with that negativity. Man, look how long. Instead of saying, praise God, there's some food up ahead, amen? I may have to wait a little while, but I'm going to get something to eat. Praise God, I've got something to eat, right? You know, in James 3:16, it says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. Yeah, that's what's going on in our government, guys. That's what's going on, amen, in political arenas today. People are selfishly ambitious. They're looking out for number one. And they'll step on whoever they need to step on to get to where they want to be, thinking that somehow a higher position or a higher paycheck or whatever, a nicer car is going to make them happy. And then when they get there, they find out, it ain't what I thought it was. How is it these people are multimillionaires and it's not enough? They got to have more money. They're able to take bribes and be paid off by people and they're millionaires already. Why is that? Because they're trying to fill themselves up and satisfy themselves on something that never will satisfy. And they're caught up in this gerbil wheel of deception, just going around in circles. And hopefully one of these days I'm just going to find satisfaction if I can just get to the next peak on the rung. People who depart from the Lord are no longer under his blessing. And that goes for any human government as well. We've got people trying to run our country without God. And I believe that God wants to save America. I believe his heart is redemptive. So God is calling you and I, his church, to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation. If my people, amen, 2 Chronicles 7:14, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and he'll forgive our sin and bring what? Healing to our land. We need God in our nation. We need God in us. We need God in our families. We need God in our community. We need the light of Christ. Amen. And that's the only thing that's going to make the difference in America. No politician is able to solve this problem that we've got right now. Only God can make America great again. And God himself is the one that can drain the swamp too. Because God loves justice. He hates injustice. Did you know that? So we need to partner with God and pray for his justice and his mercy, though. Amen. Because we also need mercy because we've been a sinful nation. So Lord, in your mercy, bring justice. But God, we need your help. We need your intervention. We know the only hope for America is that America would return to the God of its fathers and that we will trust the Lord once again. And only in you is the redemption. Only in you is hope. So blessed is the man, Jeremiah 17:7, who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. There's going to be liberty and justice for all when America turns back to God. Now I know people will say, oh, you don't know how bad America is. That's why people from all over the world are trying to get here, because it's so bad. And of course, the people that seem to squawk the most are the ones that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Never had to work or earn anything or pay for anything. Moving right along. No, we've never been a perfect nation. America has its faults, of course. Any nation has its faults. Amen? But I still believe this is the greatest nation on God's green earth. And I'm glad I'm proud to be an American. I am. I'm glad that I get to live here. Now, we know that our kingdom, ultimately, amen, is of the Lord. Our citizenship is in heaven, amen. But God has also established the nations on the earth, and God wants to rain down righteousness in the nations, and the Lord is coming to establish his rule and his reign over all the earth from Jerusalem. Amen. And the nation shall be gathered before him in that day. God is involved in the nations, in the work, even in the political system. And God is looking for someone who will be loyal to him, who will stand in the gap on behalf of the nation and pray for people in leadership, those who are in authority, that we might have a life of godliness, amen, and peace. There's liberty only in the Lord. There's freedom only in the Lord. So what we need to do, guys, and I talked about this last week, is we need to declare war on unbelief. We need to declare war on negativity. Because we're surrounded with the negative and the evil report. And the devil wants to convince enough people that it's so bad that it's beyond redemption. Come on, somebody. So that we will start to agree with that lie and we will give up hope and we will quit the battle and we'll give in and allow that horde of evil to have its way here. But God says, I want you to stand up. I want you to be salt. I want you to be light. I want you to be a world changer right where you're at. Amen. God has called you and I to represent him as his ambassadors. Amen. Representing his heavenly interests here in the earth realm. We are to speak the truth in love. Amen. And be a light in the darkness. Be an influencer for Jesus here. And again, David said in verse 13 of Psalms 27, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Where? In the land of the living. Unless I had believed. Guys, people today are giving up. People are checking out. People are committing suicide. People are returning to their drug addiction. That came out once. Their alcohol, whatever it is. But God is saying, listen, there's hope in me. Get your eyes off that. Amen. And get your eyes on me. Hope in God. As the psalmist also said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your faith, put your hope in God. Why are you allowing yourself to be depressed? We need to declare war on depression. Declare war on unbelief. Declare war on hopelessness. And say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the joy of the Lord because I have Jesus in my life. And because I have Jesus, I have love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness. And all those good fruits are all of what? Him. I already have joy. Why am I asking God to give me something I already have? The problem is unbelief. I have to start believing what God has said. And not how I feel in the moment. Start saying, I have joy. Because I have Jesus. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. God wants us to be hopeful in Him. I'm not talking about living in denial, guys. Don't get me wrong. There are problems in America. But God wants us to live above them. He wants us to, as the song says, keep our eyes above the waves. He wants us to rise up, Isaiah 40, on wings as eagles, to partner with God and let God take us up higher so that we can see things from His perspective and realize that it's not as bad as the devil's making it look. If He can convince us it's hopeless and we start to agree with that, then guess what? We will start to feel hopeless. We'll start to live a hopeless existence. If He can get us so scared and so afraid that we're going to die or catch something, then He can convince us to quit living and just shut down and shut in and quit living. We need to be led of the Spirit. I'm not saying that we don't take precautions. If God tells you to take precaution, take precaution. What I'm saying is we need to obey the Spirit of God and listen to Him and quit listening to all the other voices that are speaking against, amen, faith, against hope. And we need to have a heart like Abraham, who believed God, even when everything appeared to be hopeless. We need to take a stand against the evil report that says God cannot or God will not save. God can and will save. God will intervene. God will save America. God will intervene, amen, and bring justice, hallelujah, to America. God, I believe, is going to bring revival to His people. Why? Because God's people, in their desperation, begin to cry out and say, Lord, send us the rain. Lord, refresh us. Lord, revive us. Lord, we know that we've sinned and we need You back in our lives again. And when people get desperate enough, they begin to cry out to God, and God pours out His Spirit upon the humble, those who are receptive and open and willing to receive. Amen. Because they realize that in themselves, they don't have what it takes. Our life is not in the things that we own or the things that we do. Our life is in Christ. He is our life. In Proverbs 4:23, I shared this last week, but I want to revisit this again today. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guys, if we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to be contaminated by the evil report. Okay? Are you hearing me, somebody? Keep your mind, amen, stayed upon the Lord in His word, in His truth, in His faithfulness, in His promises, amen. And be careful. Little eyes, what you see. Little ears, what you're hearing. What are you listening to? What are you watching? And mouth, what are you saying? Whose voice are you repeating? Are you in agreement with what God is saying? Or are you just parroting what the world is saying? Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, those who like to talk, will eat its fruit. So if you're going to talk, talk the right thing, amen? Because you'll eat the fruit of that. So that's why we say instead of, oh, gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep dark depression. Excessive misery. We say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Did I just sing? All the days of my life. Let's sing it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many receive that? Come on, we're going to receive goodness and mercy because that's the God we serve. If you're in Christ, you have all the good qualities God's looking for. I find that when we get into unbelief, we get into negativity. We become nervous. We become worried. We become fearful when we're in unbelief. And often hopeless. But that's not God's heart for His people. We serve the God of all hope, and He wants us to rejoice in Him and place our faith, our confidence in God. Amen. And we have the God of all hope in us. Therefore, I have hope because I have Christ who is my hope. I already have hope. Kind of like Moses when God said, Moses, what's that in your hand? Well, it's a stick. It's a staff, right? Well, it was more than that. God says that's going to be the instrument that I use. Amen. To part the sea. To wrought miracles, right? So Moses had something that he didn't realize he had. God had given them, that represented his God-given authority. When you receive Christ, you receive God's given authority over your situation. And so you need to be careful what voice you're listening to, who you're submitting to, who you're agreeing with, who you're paying attention to, who you're listening to and what you're saying. Make sure you're speaking, amen, in harmony with God's heart and with His will. And don't get caught up in the negativity because the negativity is destroying people's lives. If people feed themselves long enough on the negativity, then they reap the fruit of that. Hopelessness. I might as well just check out because there's no hope. Our children are being given a message today that there's no future for them. Or you're going to have to live the rest of your life with a stupid mask on your face. Guys, I want you to dream. I want you to look forward. I want you to put your confidence and your faith in God. And I want you to fight like never before. Fight the good fight, amen? Because our God is able, more than able. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to His mighty power at work within us. We need to believe God, amen, for things to be turned around. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb once again, who said, we can enter in the land and we can take the land. We can possess it because God has promised it to us. He said, every place the soles of your feet have trod, I've given it unto you. And you and I need to say the same thing. Wherever we go, amen, we are carriers of God's glory, of His presence, amen. He goes with us, hallelujah, and He wants to light up the darkness and He wants to destroy the works of the devil. He wants to topple all the enemy's idols, including those in our hearts. He's working in His church. He's shaking everything up. Amen? So that the chaff can be blown away and the good can remain. I believe, guys, that this thing has actually been good for the church in a lot of ways. The difficulties. Because it's making people realize that I need more than the government. The government's not God, as much as they think they are. We need the God of the governments, the Most High God, who rules in the affairs of men. And I want to touch on this one more time. In Luke 6:45, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So God is saying the choice is yours. Who you want to align with, who you want to agree with, who you want to listen to, who you want to believe. Do you want to believe the report that we can do all things through Christ? Do we want to believe the report that God is able to turn this nation back to Him? And that God's heart is redemptive and He wants to bring, amen, a great revival to America? I believe that's what God wants. Do you? I don't believe, guys, that all the prayer and all those that are crying out right now around this nation saying, "God, save us. God, intervene. God, have mercy upon us," that is falling on deaf ears. But I also believe that we need to protect ourselves from agreeing with any other voice except the voice of the Lord. And we need to be the most optimistic people on the planet. Come on, we don't need any lemon-sucking Christians walking around. All right, now, 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have. Remember this? That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. Is God's desire to save? Yes. So it's God's will to save. Is it His desire to heal? Is it His desire to deliver? Is it His desire to restore? So we're praying in agreement with Father's heart, amen, for salvation, healing, deliverance, and restoration in America. Guys, I feel when I pray for America, when I pray for this nation, a quickening. Do you too? You feel a quickening in my spirit that this is in agreement, this is in harmony with God's heart for America. The enemy's trying to paint a picture of hopelessness. The enemy wants us to give up because he has an agenda for this nation to destroy it. But God wants to turn it around. God wants to build and He wants to plant, amen, in this nation. If His people will get into agreement with Him, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. God is wanting to intervene in our nation. So pray according to the will of God. Salvation, healing, deliverance, restoration, and reconciliation of relationships as well. So we need to guard against unbelief. We need to fight against it. And things are not always the way they appear. We're not to walk by sight, are we? 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For if we walk by faith," what? Not by sight. It's not by how things seem to be or appear. Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith, confidence in God, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." So what do we need to believe? That despite how hopeless things may seem or things may appear, that God is able to turn things around. We have to refuse to bow down to the narrative of the adversary, the Antichrist, the devil, who's saying it's hopeless. There's no point in struggling. There's no point in fighting or resisting. He's just trying to get God's people to throw their hands up and give up so He can just take the spoils. And God says, if you stand in the gap, I'm looking for just a remnant, even a few who will stand in the gap. Come into agreement for our nation. Hallelujah. Guys, I'm not giving up. And I believe God's going to do something tremendous here in the days ahead. Because we're believing. Hallelujah. And our labor in the Lord is not in vain. No matter how things look, God is able. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to Him who is able to do," it what? "Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His mighty power that works in us." Amen. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." Verse 36, hear it, everybody. Are you ready? "For you have need of endurance." Hang in there. Don't quit. Don't give up. Be patient in the process. Keep a steady gaze. Keep your faith in God. Amen. Your hope in the Lord. So after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Abraham promised by God to be what? The father of many nations. And in Romans 4:18, it says that Abraham, contrary to hope, believed and hope believed. So contrary to hope, contrary to how everything seemed to be, he believed, amen, that God was able to do what he promised. In hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What was he doing? Giving glory to God. Strengthened in faith. Didn't waver at God's promise. And he didn't, verse 19, he didn't consider his own body. He didn't look at the natural. He didn't look at the way things seemed to be. He saw that God, amen, had promised him something, even though in the natural, it would be impossible. But that's how God works. God is supernatural. He wants to bring the super into our natural, amen? He wants to supersize it. He wants to turn it around. He wants to take something that seems to be hopeless. I was one of those hopeless people that God saw something in, amen, and God redeemed, hallelujah, and turned my life around. And now I have hope in the Lord, hallelujah. And no matter what we're faced with, it's never hopeless because God is on the throne and he's able. So you're going to have to fight and you're going to have to guard your mind. You're going to have to guard yourself against the unbelief, against the negativity that's being spewed out. Amen. And so a lot of Christians are getting in agreement with that stuff right now. Amen. We need to be a Joshua and a Caleb and say, though none go with me, I'm going to follow. God said it. I'm going to believe what he said. I'm not going to entertain anything else except what God is saying. Amen. And I'm going to get into agreement with God's saying, and I'm going to say what God is saying. I'm going to believe what God is promising me. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what? He was able to perform. David, contrary to the way things appeared, he believed that he would see the goodness of God, where? In the land of the living. Unless I had believed, right? Unless I had believed. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God's looking for those who will believe him. Those who will stand up in this hour. Those who will stand in the gap. Those who will refuse to bow down to Egypt, to Pharaoh. Those who will refuse to give in to fear. Amen. Who will put their confidence, their hope, their faith in their God, who is limitless, who can do all things, and nothing is impossible with God. Amen. We're going to believe, stand in the gap, fight for your nation, for your children. Amen. And your children's children. Stand in the gap for your nation. God wants to bring healing. God wants to bring salvation. He wants to bring deliverance to America. A partner with him. Agree with that. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So bring heaven to earth, Lord. Bring heaven back into America, Lord. Wake up the sleeping giant. Amen. Wake up your people in America. Send an awakening to this nation, Lord. Psalms 27, verse 14, here it is. Wait on the Lord. This is what David exhorted us to do. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That word wait in the Hebrew means to wait patiently for with expectation. Wait patiently with expectation. For the Lord. Amen. And be of good courage. That word means be strong. That is, do not faint. Do not be dismayed. Still hope and trust in the Lord. So wait patiently with expectation. Amen. Do not faint in the process. Stand your ground. Don't stand down, but stand your ground. Stand in the battle. Don't faint. Don't be dismayed. Continue, it means, to hope in the Lord. And what he'll do is he will strengthen your heart. How many know that you've got to exercise your faith to become strong in faith? How many know you've got to work out a little bit to get in shape, right? How many know that your faith will be tested? Are we not being tested right now? Now's the time for us to rise up and take on the spirit of Caleb and Joshua and say, we're going to believe for the land. We're going to believe for salvation, healing, and deliverance. We're going to believe for a great awakening to come to America. Amen? We're going to believe that people are going to be so moved by God's spirit that they'll be walking down the street and all of a sudden they'll just cry out, say, what must I do to be saved? They'll tremble under the fear of God. That's what we need to believe for. And I'm going to finish with this, Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us stand in faith for our loved ones, our nation, and quit listening to the lies and the negativity coming from the enemy. For God is well able to give us the land. Numbers 13:30, and I finish with this. Then Caleb, after they came back with a negative, remember the evil report? Oh, the land is beautiful, but there's giants. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, what? Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Their confidence is not in their ability, but their confidence was in God's ability because God had promised them the land. Guys, God is able, and I'm going to believe. Let's believe together, amen? Let's join together. Let's pray every day, amen? Be praying, amen? For God to turn the situation around. The devil knows that he's in trouble. Did you know that? The people that have been serving the devil in this country know that they're in trouble. And I hope and pray that they wake up and they return to Jesus. Amen. Or they give their heart to the Lord and that they're saved. Because if not, they're in bigger trouble than they know. Because God's intervening. And God is bringing justice. Because he's a God of justice. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's giving people an opportunity, a space to repent right now. Now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. If people will listen to his voice, make sure that you don't harden your hearts when God is speaking to you. Amen. Submit yourself to God. Listen to his voice. Agree with him. Quit listening to all the garbage. Amen. Anything that would not agree with what God's heart is, salvation, healing, deliverance, reconciliation, and restoration. In Jesus' name, I pray that you'll be a doer of the word. Amen. And we'll be doers of the word.